مثلا مثل واحد الله يسلمك رمضان يا حافظ. كما حافظ إذا أكبرك كراش كورس now in Ramadan the whole day the struggle is as I get headache so better just to perform it 2 or 4 rakats and then also all the recite also
right.
And a hafiz of the Quran is something else. Allah Ta'ala created 2 institutions to protect the deen. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran نحن نزلنا ذكرى وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. That we have revealed the Zikr, it means the Quran. We have revealed the Quran and we are its protectors. Allah Ta'ala did not give this pledge and this promise of protection to any other scripture, neither for the Torah, the Injil, the Zabur, Allah gave this promise. For that reason, the followers succeeded in interpolation and alteration and adding and deleting and corrupting this the Torah and the Zabur and the Injil. But the Quran has remained intact in its original form as it was revealed. Of course, Allah Ta'ala is undertaking that responsibility and promise that this Quran will remain pure until the day of Qiyamah. So for that purpose, Allah Ta'ala has created 2 institutions. One is the institution of the Khufaz. The responsibility of the Khufaz is to guard and protect the text, the words, text of the Quran. Now to protect the text of the Quran, I mean that the Hafiz should be a real Hafiz of the Quran. In former days, in some places, the Hijj course was 12 years.
12 years.
In some countries, 12 years. In Morocco, also, and other places, the course of the Hijj was 12 years.
12 years.
And such powerful kufars were produced that if all the copies of the Quran had to be gathered and burned out, then quickly they can reproduce another Quran.
A few
of the cassettes together and reproduce another Quran.
So that is the
Hafiz of Quran. Allah Ta'ala created now this institution of the Hufaz to protect the text of the Quran, the words of the Quran. Performing, but nowadays they become Hafiz. Just for me, Tarawih in Ramadan. And then the entire year, the Hafiz, he does not recite his Quran properly. Now in the Salat also, he does not recite the Quran, it's a short surah. And the Hafiz is required to do a minimum of 10 sipars a day you must recite. And so it's not a difficult task, really. But they are absolutely careless. And then another very, very important requirement for a Hafiz to retain his hifz is he must be very good in his heart, taqwa. Without that, he's going to forget his Quran. There's no taqwa in the Hafiz, he's not going to remain a Hafiz. There's no here and there, and then Ramadan time must struggle and battle that he to perform the 4 rakats which he will perform. The Hafiz, he has to develop taqwa, his entire lifestyle must be fully in conformity with the Sunnah. Then he will be a Hafiz of the Quran. That's the one institution of protecting the Quran is the Hafiz of the Quran. The Hafiz of the Quran, his duty, his obligation is to protect the text of the Quran. And then the other institution of protecting the Quran is the institution of the Ulama Haq. They protect now the means. The laws of Allah Ta'ala, the laws of the Quran. These are the two institutions that Allah Ta'ala has created in order to guard this and protect the Quran. It's an institution of the Hufaz, but it is the true Hufaz, and then the true Ulama, Ulama Haq, to protect now the meaning, the Sharia, which is based on the Quran and the Sunnah. All branches of this, all branches of ilm emerge from the Quran, whether it's Hadith, Tafsir, Arabic, grammar, Nahu, Sirf, whatever it is, we are required to learn to become an alim. The basis is the Quran. The basis of everything we have is the Quran. And then this Quran, where was it? It was revealed. It was revealed in Ghar Hira, in a small, cold, barren cave in the barren mountain. The Quran was revealed there. So a madrasa, a Darul Ulum, the more resemblance it has with Ghar Hira, the more barakat and nur there will be in this. In that institution. The more resembles a madrasa or a Darul Ulum has with Ghar Hira. Because the Quran was revealed in Ghar Hira. That is the venue, the place where the Quran was revealed. In the barren cave, cold cave, in the mountains, and in the Minister of Sun for days and some for weeks, he lived there in solitude, and he think what the issue case of everywhere. In that situation, that type of environment, this Quran was revealed there. And all knowledges, all branches of Islamic knowledge stem from this Quran. So the more likeness and resemblance, more resemblance a madrasa, a Darul Ulum has now, has with Ghar Hira, more nur and barakat will be in the madrasa and the ilm. And the more resemblance the Darul Ulum has with kuffar institutions, their secular education institutions, the weaker will be the ilm, and the institution will be bereft of nur. He said, referring to Darul Deoband, our headquarters. He mentioned that a sort of an expansion in the Malaysia. Lot of expansion. It could be bigger and bigger, more institutions, more departments, kind of huge. But he says the expansion there, nowadays in the Madaris, it is like the expansion of a dead body. The body bloat. His dead body bloat. The day the body will bust, then the people will run free. From the stains that were made from them. That's the same thing. What do you mean? So you see what happened in the Madaris also. When you bust there, then the students all strike. Some starts with the students and some start with that. So striking against the management, striking against the Teresa, calling the Hindu army to come in there. Imagine students who are supposed, he says, those who pursue the ilm of the deen are supposed to be the future heirs of Rasulullah Qasam, ulama warhatul anbiya. The ulama are the heirs of the Anbiya, they are the representatives of the Anbiya. Their conduct is degenerated to such a extent that the people, the idolaters, kuffar must come and defile the holy institution of ilm, come inside there and close down the madrasa. So this is happening in all the madaris, wherever you go, you find that. So the reason for that is that ilm is no longer being taught for the purpose that it has to be taught. The objective is no more the akhirat. The objective is not Allah Ta'ala in that thing. That's Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala once he told people that they had England, كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ إِذَا لَبِسَتْكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ إِذَا لَبِسَتْكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ يَحْرُمُ فِيهَا الْكَبِيرُ وَيَحْرُمُ فِيهَا الْكَبِيرُ وَيَحْرُمُ فِيهَا الْصَغِيرُ. So how will be your condition? On that day when there will develop such a fitna, it will envelop you all, such a fitna, that the eldest amongst you will become senile. Then the more we come comfort and senility and malfunctioning of akal is proportionate to our disobedience. Allah Ta'ala weakens our intellect, our akal also. something which people don't understand is when they commit sin, they think, are you in commit sin? Allah Ta'ala forgives. Allah Ta'ala forgives. Allah Ta'ala forgives. But the effect of sin, the consequences of sin, the consequence is not restricted to the akhirah. You sin, right? You're going to get punished in the akhirah if you don't, if there's no forgiveness. If you don't ask forgiveness, Allah will forgive, right? The sin is forgiven, right? But the effect of it is there in this dunya. In other words, for every sin a person commits, there is a degree of physical weakness which develops. You must use this ni'mat of the eyes, this wonderful ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has given us of the eyes. You must use it, use looking at haram, then your vision will suffer. Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. But that effect will remain. If a person takes poison by mistake, by mistake he takes, he's going to suffer. No matter what medical treatment on there, but he's going to suffer. Whatever sin a person commits, there is a degree, the thing of weakness, physical weakness in himself. And if he continues with it, with his age, and he gets to all these, then you will see what happens, how the health breaks down. It's wonderful ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has given us. The ni'mat of health. It's such a wonderful health. It's an amanat. Everything Allah Ta'ala has given is an amanat. But we don't. We abuse this amanat. We take for granted, we for granted everything because we don't value treasure because we didn't strive for it, we didn't work, we just natural got up. But the day when Allah Ta'ala snatches it away, such a way that the function of his body organ, the vision suffers, the eyes, your hearing suffers, or anything else suffers in the world, then one will start being now to realize now. And as the sin is such an issue that it's never forgotten. When it gets forgotten and faced from the book, it's with sincere tawbah. But many of us, we have committed sins, many sins in our young days. After that, while Allah Ta'ala is one ages, Allah Ta'ala gives a person tawfiq now. Tawfiq and he reforms himself. He reforms himself and turns over a new leaf, makes violet, everything now. The elderly person, everyone is regarded as a good person, responsible in the community. We not yet forgotten what he did in his young days.
Okay.
From the time he was attained bulugh.
Yeah.
The thing now is present life is now a kafara for that. He didn't ask tawbah for that. Consciously he didn't ask tawbah.
Okay.
There's a need to make conscious tawbah for every sin that you can remember in the past.
Okay.
for which you did not ask Allah. You have to make conscious tawbah. 30, 40, 50 years ago, I forgot anything, but we are dealing with a being that doesn't forget. Allah Ta'ala doesn't forget. And it's recorded, the Malaika is recorded, everything, every, the slightest, lightest act, every thought, every act, every glance of the eye, it is recorded. مَا يَعْتَمُ أَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْكَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاعِ وَلَا أَثْرَى مِنْ ذَلَكُ وَلَا أَفْرَى إِلَّا فِي كِتَابِ مُبِينَ. There is nothing which is concealed and hidden from your Rabb, not an atom, whether in the earth, whether bigger than an atom or smaller than an atom, but everything is recorded in a clear book. And it will be thrown open. So there is a need of when we make istighfar, if you can remember such sins of the past for which you have not repented, repent. And then ask Allah, Ya Allah, forgive me for all my sins which I remember and which I can't remember. Always istighfar in abundance. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make istighfar 100 times a day. Sinless, masoom, anbiya, but 100 times a day. So we should let him always make this far. So as I said, it weakens us. It weakens us. I mean, in fact, now this is harder here. That more a Dini institution, whether it's a madrasa, darum or a khanka, the more it resembles harder here, the more nur there is, more barakat and the more that institution it resembles the institution of the kufar, the more zulm will come in them. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud asked him, how will you be your condition when you are enveloped by such a fitna when people, the eldest will become senile and the young people will become old. وَيَتَّقِدُ النَّاسَ فِتْنَةً. And the people will, وَيَتَّقِدُ النَّاسَ سُنَّةً. And the people will regard that fitna as a sunnah. This is the sunnah. وَإِذَا تُرِكَ مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ قِيلَ تُرِكَ السُنَّةُ. And then, anything is left out from that fitna, the people will say, people have left out a sunnah. So people were surprised when they heard this, they asked them, when will this happen? When will such a stage pass in the ummah? What he replied, Ya dhahabat ulama'ukum. When your ulama has disappeared, no more ulama left in our time. And the ulama said, وَكَثْرَتْ قُرَّاؤُكُمْ. And your qaris are in abundance. You have Quran competitions and this qiraat and that qiraat competition all over you. وَكَثْرَتْ قُرَّاؤُكُمْ. And your qaris will be in abundance. وَقَلَّتْ فُقَهَاؤُكُمْ. And the fuqaha will be, there will be people of aqal, fuqaha. And even a lot of maulis will be standing out of there. There are churning out maulis, but not in the fuqaha. وَكَثَرَتْ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ. And the civil service will be, there will be too many civil servants. See, like down in government, too many government are full of corruption all over the nation. وَكَثَرَتْ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ. And your trustworthy people will be few. That will be very few. وَأُلْتِمَتِ الدُّنْيَا بِأَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. And the people will search for what? For the dunya. How? With the amal of the akhirah. The deen will be a front.
Okay.
But what they will use the deen for nastaniyat and the worldly motives. Everything nowadays, all these functions taking place in the name of the deen, but full of evil. Nothing but evil in it. وَتُفُقِحَلِكِ غَيْرِ الدِّينِ. And the knowledge of the deen will be pursued for purposes other than the deen. This is what we are doing. now in the madaris also. Neither the ustad know why they are teaching, and nor do the students know why they are acquiring that knowledge. This knowledge is for the akhirah. The knowledge of the deen is not to earn a living, it's not to become a leader, it's not to become a muballigh. The knowledge of the deen is only for one matter. This ilm of the deen, there is no other maqsad other than that place of Allah Ta'ala. The najat in the akhir, the day when a student, nowadays they are taught, groomed in such a manner, you get when you ask the student, they come, what is mean? What studying session? I'm studying this. What are you studying? I'm studying the Alim course. When he says it, the student doesn't know what he's teaching. He doesn't understand what he's doing. He's studying Alim. And some are doing now the last year at Madrasa. They say that he, the final year of Alim course. I tell him, look here, you haven't understood maqsad. You haven't understood what you are doing at the madrasa. Your final year at the madrasa, when you leave the madrasa, then at that stage you qualify. If you were a true student, talib ilm, then you qualify to understand your own jahalat. That is all. You have learned nothing else. You have only understood now my ignorance now, because now you have got a basis and you can see the treasure in front of you now. Treasure of the ilm, the kutub, all you can see. And you compare yourself now to that and you understand how little I am, how weak I am. So, and becoming Ali, a person never become an Ali. Who are the ulama? Ulama is not a person who did a stint at the madrasa, a couple of years, and he got a certificate. It doesn't mean that he's an Ali now. It's a molding, an academic qualification. It's a molding, it's not an Ali. What is an Ali? Allah Ta'ala, same time. Innama al-ulama. إنما يخشى الله من عباد العلماء. إنما يخشى الله من عباد العلماء. That opens all the servants of Allah Ta'ala, only the ulama fear him. Of the servants of Allah Ta'ala, only the ulama fear him. So a qualification for an alim, for a person to be an alim, is khashiyah. He must have that humility, that tawazu, and the fear for Allah Ta'ala. If that is missing, then he is a giant. He remains a giant. There's no difference there. So that is it. And a person who has true ilm, he can never, he will never claim, he will not verbally claim, in his mind or in his heart also, he will not understand that he's got the heart, he has humility, and he has true fear for Allah. He always understands the more taqwa a person develops, and the more ilm one gets, the more nur that comes into ilm, the more one understands one's deficiencies. Your ilm deficiency, your deficiency in your ibadat, in your internal and your life, you understand it. And it becomes open. Why? Because the eyes of the batin open up. Now you can see, you'll understand what you didn't understand yesterday. More nur comes now. What that means? Insan is not only a physical being, it's called the physical being and the ruhani being. It's got a physical body and it's got a spiritual side also. Now, our physical eyes, we can see, but our ruhani eyes are blind. Just take one small example here. We are sitting now in a gathering here. No matter how much the urge may be to commit a sin, in this public gathering, no one is going to commit a sin.
Right.
We ask, why? Why won't you commit? Because why? The one who's sitting here, his perception of the presence of people is very strong. I understand all people are saying, you can see them. Maybe embarrassed. How can I come with them here? You cannot see everyone. But when everyone is gone, he's sitting alone, then he comes with them. Now I ask why. Then you say, and I believe that Allah Ta'ala is here. He's asking, Nazi. And I believe the two malaika, the Farishta, obviously, they're recording. Yes. That is our Aqidah, our belief that they are with us constantly. So, when the people are with you, then you don't commit, then I don't commit the sin. When the people are gone, and Allah Ta'ala is still here, and the malaika are still here, then I commit the sin. So, why is that? That is because our iman is dead. Our ruhani eyes are blind. Our ruhani ears are deaf. There's some blindness. Come on, book me. Oh, that category we are. That we are. That we are on. Everything of our ruhani side is not functioning, sterilized. For that reason, when we are alone, we can commit sin. No, nothing. So, as I said, the ilm is being now taught now for the dunya. It's clear, it's no riddling. Everyone understands. For example, you find now in Pakistan, you get now all the madaris here. Before that, you were to call the Rifakul Madaris. Now they clamor. How did they? It's all the senior ulama. How they insulted the ink? They clamor. And they demand the demand on the government to accept it. That this qualification, the Ali Fazil qualification, which you attain from Madrasa, it must be put on an MA level. Then they must, the secular institutions must recognize our standard, our certificate, to be on the level of the MA. Look at the insult. Why should they say when they go now to the Middle Eastern countries, they must have a certificate, they get a job.
Okay.
To see standing, you must have a certificate.
Right.
So the person can be ignorant also, but as long as you got the certificate and shows the MA that he has employed. Now this is not the purpose setting of this in. The in is being taught now for the dunya, whereas the maqsad of the ilm is the akhirah. Nothing else. Not to become a muballigh, not to become a ali, not to become a mufti, not to become a guide or nothing. Only one maqsad. That is mu'allafin. Gain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and for najat in akhirah. Hazrat Fudail bin Iyad, alhamdulillah, very great kuzuk, very great was contemporary of Imam Muhammad, alhamdulillah. Imam Muhammad, alhamdulillah, in a very difficult masala, you would not issue a fatwa unless you consult with Hazrat Fudail bin Iyad, who at one stage was a highway robber. But then Allah Ta'ala gave him hidayat. He became a very great person at the Khalifa of the time. Harun Rashid could not even gain an audience with him. He was living in his tent, in his heart outside. He wouldn't open the door for the Khalifa. He said he made dua, Ya Allah, must make me so sick, so sick. That I'm unable to go to the masjid, so I can perform my namaz alone, so I don't meet people, I don't see people. So this is the effect of ilm. The more ilm, the more knowledge in ilm, the more that Ali now leaves now from the people, leaves that ilm. But Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom, He knows who are the ulama, to guide the people and to do the work of the deen, because that is the institution, Ulama Haq is the institution which Allah Ta'ala has created to guide the deen. Imam Malik Rahimahullah said that the sign of an Ulama Haq is that he flees from the people. And when he flees, the people come after him. And the closer they come to him, the further he runs. And finally they call him. And then he's forced now to teach schools. He's understood and guide people, assist them with the genie problem over there, genealogy over there, genie problem. So, as it is, Allah Ta'ala, He will choose and select from His servants who have to serve the genie correctly. And He will create now such circumstances to compel such ulama to do the work of the genie, although they are not interested in it. They don't want to do it, but Allah Ta'ala create such circumstances which compel them now to be with the people and do the work of the deen. So the need the thing of the student, of the person who goes to him, must be nothing but the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and Akhirat. There was one Sultan, he established a madrasa some centuries ago. And this madrasa which he had established was for them students of the elite, who were the high class people in society, only their students, or their sons. So in those days, it was the Islamic law also. Those who held top positions in the army and in the government, etc., had to be alims, had to be Maulvi, sheikhs, had to be. But so the Muftis also were employed by the state. So their sons, so the ulama half of the time, they criticized the Sultan a lot in this madrasa also. And now the ilm is being taught now for the dunya. There's no barakat in that institution. So one after some time, some years, the Sultan passed by this temple and said, he wanted to visit my madrasa and see how the progress of the madrasa.
Yes.
So he disguised, he didn't come like the king, like the Sultan. Mm-hmm. And all these persons disguised himself and came. And he saw the students studying and all that. So he asked one student, hey, why are you studying this kitab in this son? He said, my father is a mufti in the State Department. My father, well, I also want to become a mufti. Mm-hmm. Why, another one asked, why are you studying? He said, I'm studying to come getting a qazi, my father is a qazi. So he asked several students, all gave him such answers. Of course, the father is working in this department, in this department, here, and that's why we have him. The king, he was very angry, and he taught him, he said, right, but ulama, he said, when I established this madrasa, the ulama just said, this madrasa will be for the dunya. It is right.
Mm.
Although he was a king, but he understood me. What they are telling him is completely wrong.
Mm.
He doesn't know why you pursue the aim of the deen. Then he saw one small stature sitting in a corner, also studying his kitab. And from his appearance, they thought this is not a student from a wealthy home.
Okay.
From garments, etc. So he asked this and said, why are you studying here? What are you doing? So the children told me, I understood, I reflected and understood that I've got a Rabb, a creator.
Mm.
I've got a creator. And I am here to learn those ahkam, that laws, which will please my creator. I will learn how I must worship my creator. So I think it's the akhirat. When he said that, then the Sultan revealed himself and went out to the management to Mohatamin and told them, I have decided today to burn this entire madrasa. I wanted to give the order to raise it to the ground because this madrasa, what the ulama said is right, it is only teaching knowledge for the dunya, not for the akhirat. But because of that student, one student, I will leave the madrasa. The madrasa is for him. Not for all these people studying it. It's only for him, I'm leaving it. And who was it? That person, that student turned us down, it was Imam Ghazali. They turned the Ghazali at the time. So I say that they were near. So where the niyat is corrupt, when the niyat is not right, say no, the seed is corrupt, the seed is rotten, obviously. What type of tree will grow there? What type of fruit will it bear? So that's what we see in our in the form of this time. The niyat from the very initial stage is corrupt. You see the Mahari second. They are modeled now on the styles of universities.
Yeah.
The objectives of these two institutions are completely opposite. They repel each other. Then the objective of a secular institution is the dunya. You learn to make money, a living. And the objective of the madrasa of dini institution is to earn the akhirat. So when there are so widely divergent in the objective, so much big difference, then obviously there is no common ground which the two institutions meet. So our institutions which are now emulating now this kufar, westernized institution, westernizing madrasa, are really destroying, undermining the deen, digging the foundations of the deen. That is what we are doing. The more the poorer the madrasa is, the more difficult the circumstance, the condition the madrasa is, the better. The fewer students, those who are interested really in the deen. Right? So, like in Western institutions, students will strike. Why? For food, for living conditions, etc. Mm. Same thing is happening now in the madaris also. Mm. Every big madrasa is broken up. So I say that our entire thing, the focus thing of the people, of the ulama and of the masses, just the dunya. We have forgotten the maqsad, why Allah Ta'ala has sent us into the dunya. Forgotten. For that reason, you cannot today in this demand give people nasihat. If you become your enemy, if you give anyone nasihat, it becomes your enemy. Yahya bin Ma'ad rahimahullah, he said, أخوك من نبع أخوك من نبحك من أجوب. That your friend, at least your brother, is one, is he who alerts you to your fault. He makes you aware of your fault. That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Mu'min, mirror to Mu'min. That a Mu'min is a mirror for a Mu'min. That like you see in the mirror, the defects, the faults in your appearance, in your garments, and you rectify. So when a woman sees something, wrong, and brother woman, and he speaks with a similar, وَسَفِيكَوَا مَنْ حَذَكَ ذُنُوبُ. And your friend, the true friend, is he, what is that? He warns you about your sin. He reminds you, he gives you good advice. Nowadays you save a person from a financial loss, worthy loss, thank you. Tell him, that is wrong. If you do this, you're going to lose a lot of money. And then you say, thank you, you have saved him. But you tell him something that you're going to save in the akhirah, then he becomes your enemy. It's a pressure for the next year. Takabur comes with pride and he feels himself. You explain something about the deen team which is doing wrong. That is the right of a friend, as obligation he has, to bring his friend onto the right path. And the Mr. Austin explaining what a friend is. There's no friend nowadays, but that is the reason then. Money, ذَكَرَكُمْ بِاللَّهِ رُوْيَتُهُمْ. Friend is such a person, when you see him, he reminds you of Allah Ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Like his awliya. Mm-hmm. You see him, he reminds you of who? Mm-hmm. Allah Ta'ala. Mm-hmm. The mind don't go to the dunya.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in your mind, it's on the akhir, mm-hmm. Who else? Mm-hmm. Woman, ذَالَكُمْ بِالْإِلْمِ. بِالْإِلْمِ مَنْتِكُهُ. And his talk increases you in yeah, and it's not only what you study there in the kitab, you hear something, then this is your knowledge. One zakarakum bil akhirati amaluhu. And this amal is a deed, reminds you of the akhirah. That is a friend. Right? And that type of friend, you cultivate such friendship, right? The basis of that friendship, the deen. That friendship will endure into the akhirah. Worldly friendships come to an end, and especially if the motives are corrupt, it ends not it doesn't only end, but it ends in animosity.
Mm.
But a friendship built on the deen, it endures into the akhirah, and then those friends who were then the dunya, who had established a taluk, a relationship, a friendship for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, they will be under the shade of Allah Ta'ala. On that day when they have no conclusion. So there is it. The deen, our basis of our life must be our deen. The deen is not a secondary thing. It's not a hobby like by us. It is something secondary for us. It is our primary destiny. Our primary occupation must be the deen. Everything must be subservient to the deen. Wherever there is a clash, a conflict between the desires of your nafs or your worldly objectives and the sharia, there is a conflict, then the mu'min is required to put aside his worldly objectives and submit to the sharia. Understand well that there will always be conflict because Allah Ta'ala has created this dunya for that purpose. If Allah Ta'ala did not want conflict, I mean, the dunya is the arena for the conflict between haq and batil, between the place where vice and virtue will conflict. The nafs is Allah Ta'ala has created in us, and evil nafs, and shaitan is evil. So they are, these forces, evil forces, have their functions to perform there in the dunya. If Allah Ta'ala did not want this conflict, then you would have left us and created us in Jannah, where he created Adam and Noah alayhi salam. So he created us there, he'll stay in comfort, in peace, no sin, nothing.
Right.
And nothing, only ibadah and obedience. Allah Ta'ala would have left us all there. But no, Allah Ta'ala has created otherwise. He had such a creation, the malaika, the farishta were there.
Mm-hmm.
No nafs, no purely, only obedience. So, but Allah Ta'ala demanded another creation consisting of good and evil. But with the goodness being dominant in him, that is, if he utilizes the power, the force which Allah Ta'ala has given him, that is the aql.
Mm-hmm.
Allah Ta'ala has given us a good, sound aql. If we utilize that aql, then we will be in a position to keep our nafs under control. There will be a struggle. Nothing in this dunya is without struggle. You have to struggle. You can't achieve anything just by dua and dhikr. Dua and dhikr bring barakat in your effort. But effort, the muzada, it is compulsory, that you have to do. And that is what the tasawwuf teaches us. So don't teach us all types of askar. But then the soul of the tasawwuf is to control, subdue and neutralize the nafs. To adorn the nafs with the akhlaq, hamida, with the beautiful qualities of moral excellence, to subdue all the evil. You cannot never eliminate the evil from the nafs, because nafs is inherent evil, evil. So what is natural in it, you cannot eliminate it, but you can subdue it. And Allah Ta'ala has given us that akal. So one must not expect that in this dunya you will get, in this dunya you know. You're going to continue the struggle. What Allah Ta'ala said, why? Hatta ya'ti aqal yaqeen, until the king comes to be more. The struggle is going to continue. Then it's a different issue that Allah Ta'ala makes it easier. The more steadfast you are, Allah Ta'ala makes it easier. And for some of his selected servants, Allah Ta'ala completely puts them in, grants them the pleasure of the ibadah. Ibadah, the maqsad of ibadah is not pleasure. To get pleasure. Very few will get that pleasure.
Right.
Very now.
Mm.
You have to continue, be steadfast on it. If the maqsad was, if Allah Ta'ala had to give everyone enthusiasm and pleasure and sweetness of the ibadah, then the purpose of this world is to be defeated. it will be defeated. Everyone will definitely defeat. This, I mean, the natural system which Allah Ta'ala has created for the dunya will not be able to operate. So Allah Ta'ala, what he has occasionally gives us a little enthusiasm, and then we make amal. But the enthusiasm is short-lived. Always remember, some people, they become disillusioned. Initially they have a lot of enthusiasm, and then after a while it dissipates. Now they feel dry inside. Now they get busted. No, that is like the mother. If the, you no longer have the former urge to for ibadat, that doesn't mean that you are drifted from Allah Ta'ala. No, that was a temporary. That was a temporary halat. Mm. And a halat is it's not within a person's volition control. That comes from Allah Ta'ala. What is in your control is to carry out the command of Allah Ta'ala. And that you have to do until the time when you have to continue, be constant. As long as you are constant in carrying out Allah Ta'ala's ibadat and Allah Ta'ala's command and abstaining from the prohibition, submitting to the Sunnah, then you are on the right tariqah. Even if you don't experience any sweetness in your ibadat, as long as you are constant and you have istiqamah on the haq and on the on what Allah Ta'ala has ordered you to do, then you must know you're on the right step. You will reach your destination by Allah Ta'ala. That is the thing we have to do. And I say that must to create now this mood in us. Obviously, there's a whole system. If you follow the system of the Shariat and top the Sunnah. But along with that, what is important is muraqabah, which people don't do at all. Without muraqabah, the eyes of the heart not going to open up. You have to justify the Nabi's also for the Sahaba. You always order them in a variety of ways. Then they must reflect. Once the Sahaba came to the group Sahaba, they were happy and lucky and laughing. We, the Nabi Sallallahu told them. He said, daily the Qabr is calling five times a day. And the Qabr says, Ana Baitul Ghurbati, I'm in a boat of forlornness. Ana Baitul Wahdati, I'm a boat of solitude. Ana Baitul Turab, I'm a home of sin. A bowl of sand, and I'm going to do it, and I'm in a bowl of worms.
Okay.
The Qabr calls us daily out. Then we start saying, no, ta'alamuna ma'alamu, if you knew what I know, la dahiktum qalila, you will laugh little less. Wala baqitum kathira, and you will cry in abundance. Wama talastum bin nisa'i al-furush. And you will not derive any pleasure from your wives and beds, you won't derive pleasure. And you will all run away into the wilderness. You'll go screaming into the world if you knew what I know of more, of the Qabr, of the Akhirat. But if Allah Ta'ala had to give everyone that knowledge and that perception of the Akhirat, obviously then this world won't continue. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi informed us of all these issues of the Akhirat, of the Qabr, and we must make muraqabah. So when we make muraqabah on a regular basis, you may spend a few minutes in solitude in the night time, think of your maut, which is very close by, see people dying around us, think of your maut, think of the sakrat of maut, the pains of maut, the torment in the Qabr, then inshallah ta'ala, a khawf will develop. Allah Ta'ala will create now a fear in the heart. And that will be such a fear which will open up. It will open up the eyes of the heart. And then making amal, following now the chariot, will become easy. It will not become a problem and a difficult, insurmountable problem to control your eyes. Now it's impossible to control the eyes. You don't require a lot of muscles in the eyes to stay divert or gaze from around. So I say that now, in order to create now life and nur in our heart, we must make muraqabah. on a daily basis. And you can get on a daily basis, inshallah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will then create in us a sufficient ruhaniyat now to keep us going straight on Sirat al-Mustaqim until we meet the Akhir. Wa Akhir Dawana. Imam, the question to you. Yes. There are problems happening there in Makkah Mukarramah. All Allah Ta'ala's azab, nothing but Allah Ta'ala's azab. All the predictions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam materializing on it. The holy places have been defied and are being defied both by the regime and by the people. So these are this case of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says there little azab. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran says that he doesn't first at once reveal the great azab. The great azab will follow if we don't need the little azab. Small punishments like what we are doing now. It's comparative in relation to the great azab which will come, sir. These are small punishments. So this is saying, if the people don't heed and take lesson, then the great punishment will come. That's how saying, what the kufi tatan? La tusuidannaka alladhina zalamu khasa. Beware of such a punishment which will not overtake only the transgressors. Those who are the bosoms and the sheikh and the mullahs and the pious, all will be saved. It can take them all. Why? Because they also the colluding message. Allah Ta'ala sent wahi to Hazrat Nabi Yusha alayhi salam. Yusha, in a certain city, there are 60,000 inhabitants. Of the 60,000 inhabitants, 40,000 are transgressors. And 20,000 are such pious people whose amal are like the amal of the Anbiya. But I will destroy the entire city. Put them off. So Nabi Yusha al-Islam, Mitaya Allah, destroying and punishing the 40,000 transgressors is understandable. But why these pious people? You say that the amal that did are like the Anbiya's deeds. And why must they be destroyed?
Okay.
So Allah Ta'ala revealed that when my ahkam, my laws are being violated, they all keep quiet. Silence. All maintain silence. And not only that, they freely mingle with these people. When they are invited and function, then they go and eat with them.
Okay.
And all the haram is taken place. Decent, you get desensitizing. Everything is the same thing. Then if your aql is not strong, okay, emotionally become desensitized because we see everything. But with this intelligence, you must understand the thing is wrong, so severe is a major sin. And I have to keep myself away from it. So because they can mingle with them freely in with their sin, they don't guide them, to completely abandon it. So they occupy the entire city. All the Jibril al-Islam destroy them all. So that the arm, the universal punishment, the arm punishment comes, then it's everyone. But those who were firm in Allah Ta'ala's deen and the Amal, inshallah Allah Ta'ala will open a way up for them and save them from the armed calamity or something. What is happening there? Very bad. Again, people, I think, Muslims, refugees are going, they're coming, and yes, they're Christians, going now to Europe just to get now, right there in Europe, they are embracing Christianity. Who is the Arabians now? So this is the condition of the Ummah that is very tragic, lamentable, sad, I think, but We are living in such times of fitna, and it's not going to get any better, it's getting worse.
Right.
You know, if we go towards Qiyamah, the further we go from the age of Nubuwwat, the worse it will become. It's going to be so often predicted. All these things will happen. We are seeing it. All the lesser signs of Qiyamah are materializing in front of us. On a daily basis, everything. You hear and read of things happening, situations developing, all the things. Testify to the truth of the result of the moment. And yet, what we tend to go to this is going to happen, this is going to happen, it's really happening. And then the result of the moment, the time will come when the Arab women, they will dance around the idols. And shirk will be coming. Yeah, and the result of the moment, that's going to happen. Towards the army. We should already, the ground is being prepared for the situation. This is, the other day I heard that it was Kuwait or someone of those Gulf states. This Hindu president went there, and the Muslim government, they went for the first one of the biggest Hindu temples in the world, in Dubai, or one of those places.
Dubai.
Biggest thing that is. And they already initiated some climate. You see the Arab also standing now, the Arab officials with that tray of that sweet meat with the Hindus and is dedicating it to the idols. This is the Arab that is now coming. So the ground is being prepared. That's nothing. Idolatry also nothing. That is between a person and Allah Ta'ala, it's a relationship with Allah Ta'ala. It's not for us to identify the thing who's got really the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Only what is external conduct. You can, the external conduct, what the Sharia calls it, this is our criterion. If somebody is not fulfilling the commands and the demands of the Sharia, then obviously we will sever our connection with that person, or we will say that person, not, for example, if you say a person says fasted, that's in terms of the Sharia now. He's doing such actions. He may be, that person may be having a better ta'aluk, a relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Then the one who is branding him, right? You may have. Why? It's necessary. The one who keeps the seat also, you must understand this. When you keep the seat, you must be at that time also. Because it's quite possible that the person to whom you are criticizing, there may be such a goodness in him which overshadows all his evil. And in me, who is supposed to be pious, there may be such an evil which overshadows all my goodness. Right? They know, so no, their fear must always be there. Iman, Bain al-Khawf wa al-Razan, Iman is associated with the fear and hope. We don't know. We just have to extend the thing. But the Sharia says that here. But as far as formulating an opinion about the person in the heart that is not a function, not a duty, and not a requirement, and it's a dangerous thing. You form an opinion. Now you can say that this person, he committed kufr, it's a kafir, he committed kufr. But in the heart, maybe even if you don't believe he's a kafir, you don't believe he's a fasting and he's Hindi. But if he's committing such an act, so you say that in terms of the Shadid, if this person is Hindi, to save the people. Some going astray. But as I said, the thing is, we will judge a person on his external deed and his external anxiety and distress also. But the Gongori Hamdala, as we said, that you will see that on the day of Qiyamah, there is the ulama. There are many of those people whom you label here as kafir, sitting in Jannah. He said, many of those who are, but then he added, but don't stop branding them as kafir.
Yeah.
For the sake of the Sharia.
Yeah.
Now the law must take its course.
Yeah.
This is Allah Ta'ala's law. Right? But how Allah Ta'ala is going to deal with people in Akhir death become? We say, oh, we believe all of the Fahar will go to everlasting in Jahannam.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
This is our belief. There's no need for us now to probe that belief and to now go into the right of argument like the people do. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran that there will be forever lasting the kuffar. So whatever Allah Ta'ala means by he knows. He knows. It's not for us now to decide now what Allah Ta'ala will do with them.
Mm.
He knows what he says. If he tomorrow decides to put all the kuffar into Jannah, then all the mu'min in Jannah, we don't question his authority.
Yeah.
So he does as he sees. We just echo what Allah Ta'ala has said. This is so, and this is so, we say, Amen. I said that now, this is so, and so, and so. So you'll criticize someone without despising him. I don't despise him.
Okay.
You're not allowed to despise him. Because this is when someone despises another person, then that is a sign of his own destruction. That he will himself going to fall now into the thing. So when we speak also, it must be the thing. We must understand the person who has committed and understand what he did, why he did it, what is he doing, what is the maqsad behind all this thing. And I'm saying that he's saying that if you say God the Sharia, say God the akhlaq and the amal and the aqaid of the people. Yes, we have to see the haq. Beyond that, this is, we don't know what's in there. What Allah Ta'ala, what is a person's relationship with Allah Ta'ala? We don't know. It's fearful. Then you need to confess someone's not telling that thing. Just to put understanding, it's not easy. No simple thing, you should get. Why? It's a matter of Iman and Kufr. Al Iman, Ben and Kufr, Ben and Kufr, Ben and Kufr. Yes, all must be there. And you criticize a certain person without fear, without the understanding, then it's not the thing. So I say the thing is, once you got pry and investigate the person's akhlaq, etc., which as you are passing out for him to become the imam, he looks like a good person, a pious person. But now if he's the pious person, he shaves his beard now, he cuts his beard longer. Now, obviously, now he has to be the pastor, he's not supposed to be the imam now. So, by saying he's not supposed to be the imam, he doesn't mean now that he's despising him. No, he's speaking the heart, he's saying what Allah says, what the Sharia says. So, no, he's the person of the pastor, he's the first person of the pastor, the first person of the pastor, and then he's the pastor of the pastor. That's the issue.
You're
making
a decision on the selection of the individual. Istikhara would be sufficient.
No. Istikhara is not sufficient. You have to. Istikhara is the last resort. First, you have to explore everything and make your investigation. Make your investigation the advantages and the disadvantages. In anything, the advantages, based on the harm and the goodness of it, and you consult people of experience in that field, have all your worldly facts right in the table. Now you make a decision now, you have decided to think, okay, I'm going to take this route. You make now istikhara also, at the end, make istikhara. You ask Allah to guide me now. Look what Imam Bukhari, how he used to compile the ahadith. He exhausted all his effort, in order to ascertain the authenticity of the hadith. beyond this, even now he couldn't go any further. As far as he was concerned, just this is 100% study. Now it is Ghusl. And then you make two rakats namaz and ask Allah to guide, Ya Allah, is this hadith study or not? So what Allah inspires the heart and then he edits the kitab. So the effort we have to make, this is the dunya, alim al-asbab, we have to harness all the means, the ways and the means, we have to harness which Allah Ta'ala has created. We cannot ignore that. Allah Ta'ala has created this arm, that we have created the asbab for your risk, we have to pursue it. And the few awliya who had abandoned the ways and the means, that is not a dalil. That is how Allah Ta'ala wanted some human beings to be like farishtas also. So Allah Ta'ala created them also, the farishtas can look on these people, look up at them also. That is not the criteria, is the sunnah in the Bishra. That is the criterion and the sharia. But the sharia say, what the sunnah say, that is following. So, one small part I understand, Qazi, I think it was Qazi Diyaruddin, the Qazi of the place, and it was in the town of Nizam, that Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah. Very great Buddhist father in India. Hazrat Nizamuddin Rahmatullah Alayhi, undoubtedly is an exceptional great wali of Allah Ta'ala. But he was inclined towards Sima. He was his murid. He had the Sima singing taking place without musical instruments. Now the Qazi of the Yusuf of Guzu, but he was a Qazi. He would always criticize and he always prevent him. So one time he came to report him, he said, the Qaza, he put a big tent up. The Qaza of the Nizamuddin, oh yeah, he has put a big tent up and all the police there, and the Sima, they didn't go anywhere there. So he took a group of his police, the Qazi himself, and he went. When he went there, it was so chock block that they beat that he couldn't enter even. So he ordered to cut the ropes. So he cut the ropes with the hook and collapsed on them. They cut the ropes. And the tent, all the ropes were cut. But the tent stood. Karamat. And Sima said, Khalsa said, I'm not impressed by this nonsense. Right? I'm not impressed. He forced his way through. And he got there by Hazrat Nizamuddin. When he got there, Hazrat Nizamuddin was in the hall. He stood up in the hall, reciting the Sima. So Qazi Sahib grabbed him and forced him to sit down. Right? The first time. Then the Hazrat Nizamuddin, he again got up in the hall. Called them second time, forced him down again. The third time, when he got up, the called them, bring attention to him. He stood at the point. The people were surprised. These others, his colleagues who came with him, all were surprised. Called them standing now in the respect, in honoring the respect. He's always saying Nizamuddin is a bidati, he's a fasik, he's a bidati, he's always standing with respect. So after a while, he's coming out. And as he's going out, he's telling him, I'll get you, sir, don't worry. I'm going to get you. Then Nizamuddin came and then they asked him, what has happened there? You still getting in. Oh, you forced him down, then you stood in on it. He said, I did not stand to only the bidati. He said, that man is a bidati. And it's not just to honor a bidati. I did not stand. What happened is, the first time, when he stood up in hell, right, his ruh took flight from his body.
Okay.
And went to the first asman. And my ruh pursued him there, and I brought him back. I put him down. The second time, his ruh took flight, and reached the 7th heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my Rupa pursued him there, and I arrested him and I brought him back here.
Yeah.
The third time, his Rupa went above the arsh.
Okay.
And when I tried to get above the arsh, the Malaika there blocked me. Said, no, this maqam is not for you, it's for God. Ramadhi, you are not on that level.
Yeah.
You cannot come there.
Okay.
So I stood in honor of the Malaika. Not of this divinity.
Okay.
I'm not impressed with it. I'm not impressed with going there by the arsh.
Yeah.
My duty is to enforce the Sharia.
Yeah.
Not to be impressed by this kind of stunt.
Okay.
Right. After some time, Qazi Saab went murdered him out on his deathbed now. In Dawud and Ahmadali, he got to Mr. Qazi Saab on his last sickness. So he went now to make the order to visit the Qazi Saab. When he came there, the Qazi informed Qazi Saab that Hazrat Nizamuddin and Ahmadali, he said, it's going on to be. So Qazi Saab told the Qazi, tell him that I'm now on my last. I'm on the verge of meeting Allah Ta'ala. And at this moment, I'm not prepared to see the face of the divinity.
Mm-hmm.
I want to leave the dunya by seeing with my eyes seeing the divinity. So the Nizamuddin Ahmadali sent a messenger. Tell Hazrat that I'm not so disrespectful. I've made Tawbah and I'm coming. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a person who has made Tawbah is like a person who has no sins. So I'm not so disrespectful. I've come here after I made Tawbah. When he came and gave this message to Qazi Saab, Qazi Saab said, take my Amama and spread it for him. Let him walk on my Amama and come to me. Then he came. And on the last day, he said, Qazi Saab passed away. So that is the state of you of me. How to impress the thing. And so the biggest karamat when you show me the thing. That doesn't matter. You're not bound to follow the thing. What the Buzruf says. And we measure the amal and the statement of the Buzruf on the scale of the Shariat and the Sunnah of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nothing else to done with that. Three of them became hafiz by myself at home. I never sent them to school, I never sent them to Madrasa. When I saw the halat of the ulama, then generally, and I look at my children, my son, I didn't understand it. But they were the son of mine who not, they were so small like this. They were not have the Ruhani was sent to Samila to uphold the commandment of the ilm. So I made dua, Ya Allah, that my son is meek and hardworking and earn their living and be unknown and lead a good life. That is a very idol. And I did not speak in the line of ilm for the fear that he said it. So that is my personal duty. I didn't speak. Allah Ta'ala wants to take real that you come in person, Allah Ta'ala is going to force him in case of circumstances, put him onto the line of ease, no matter what we do. So my decision is, should ask, I advise him, if your son is not mature in the mind, not mature, 17, 18, or 20 years of age, and he's mature, and he wants to study, then he's a madrasa, if you get it. Because, despite the fact that there's no more Ruhani that's been died, but if that student himself is mature, is intelligent, and you will understand that in the madrasa he must stay aloof. Mustn't Ruhani say, you must stay in the madrasa as if there's no one else in the madrasa. You are alone. That's it. Say that, then you will get a text in knowledge. You will not get any Ruhani there. You'll get the text in knowledge. Then with his own zikr and his ibadat and his ikhlas and his amal, Allah Ta'ala will know. So children must not never be sent to me. I tell, oh, stay with me. If I'm the first, provide the moral for your child, then you don't have nowadays. People don't know what takes place in the Madharis. I know about Ta'aluk. I've seen with my eyes, and Ta'aluk with so many students, they write all things, that's what the things that they're like. Shinani gets a course on in the Madharis. I tell the students, never think serious about something in the world. Yes, the father that you have got a given sufficient wealth, I think they gave someone a sufficient at home, the basic person, all the things. And once the child now, you see as he grows, whether he is now inclined towards him and his answers, once he gained the things, then you can get him. Especially if you make it further, but you must not send the kids like this. And just the world is a moral system. It's a very bad situation, I think it's very bad. People look at the external structure of the beast, the very sound, the body, and everything. The external, but the corruption is inside. You must be inside to understand it and to know it and to see it and to know what is happening inside. My obligation to speak, I was with Janus and the Indian scientist, which is an art in Sierra. But you know, and then I feel dirty in the street like that, but you have to speak half the truth. You can't come to China, but maybe in silence, maybe so I can say, a sock is in a hockey, and say, come on, Akhra, man, in silence, and the main silence, if you got to the hock, it's a dumb shaitan. That's one of our struggles. We strengthen our bond with Allah Ta'ala. So we have one thing, and I'm just all. Now we don't need to be another time, and any. So we have to make preparation between what after the Mishra, we say the most intelligent person is the one who makes preparation for his stay in Barzakh, in the Qabr. We extend all our energy, all our time for the dunya. Our beings also transform the dunya. When we actually transform our dunya into the being, it's the opposite one. And the slightest clash there is between the dunya and the deen, your financial demands and your demands of the dunya, you must what you do. Yes, you go fishing now. What? A fatwas now. How much you make this guy now? If you look at the faith of the Sahaba and all these important opposite, the slightest doubt will come between. We can abandon it. As Umar radiallahu anhu said, although we can't make aman, we just citing these ahadith and these, the halat of these, of self-salihin, in order to gain an understanding and know how we must lead our life. Because we have seen, as Umar radiallahu anhu said, some 9/10 of confirmed halal transactions for fear of falling into riba. But now you find that ulama is sitting in a bank, the sharia bought and being paid to churn out fatwas of Jahid Jawab for the bank product. Yes, maybe that is. But then you don't want to be an employee of a riba bank, that's the way to find a riba bank. If the bank, if the Muslim bank wants a fatwa, can't the manager come there to the small office, the humble, simple office of the Muslim staff and come and get a fatwa there? Why would the Muslim go there and get paid there by the bank and to give out that? It's a conflict of interest. There's a bank, and then you have to just pay to manufacture child support for them. No, that is not going to tell them.
Hey, let me get this.
Allah.